in the mood for a tight 1 hour simply because it's late. Oh, baby, when you're late,
you can wish
you weren't late. You can wish you weren't late. It was getting to a thing about like being pregnant.
Oh.
Moving on. Dave, how many times has this happened to you?
Once.
No, 190 times.
Oh.
It's our 190th episode. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon.
What I meant
with
was
Ian Boothby
and David.
You've done this 190 times.
I can't remember my own name now. It's,
you know, this really negates
worked.
The whole practice it's, makes perfect.
I don't, well, we have to do it 10,000 times, really, if we listen to Malcolm Gladwell.
10,000 hours. It's
oh, it's only 10,000 hours. Yeah. So really, I could do once for 10,000 hours.
Yeah, I think Malcolm Gladwell did say you have to do 10,000 podcasts to really nail it.
I think so.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Well, so it hasn't happened yet. It's all right that I blew it. My name is David Dedrick, everybody.
Oh, you.
And when you said how many times have we done this?
Yeah.
You or how many times has this happened? It's only happened once that you asked me that at the beginning of the show. So okay. Strictly speaking, I was fucking right.
Right. So every time an infomercial starts with, how many times has this happened to you?
Mm-hmm.
You think, oh, do you mean someone asking me how many times this has happened to me? Is that what you think? That they weren't talking about the thing that was about to happen? They mm-hmm. were talking about the actual act
exactly
of
right.
asking how many times has this happened to you? Because if you're asking me how many times has someone said, has this happened to you? Thousands.
Every time an infomercial starts. Like
an infomercial.
Excited. Yeah.
So that's like a sexual infomercial is a nymphomercial.
That's right.
Very good. So that's kind of the Ashley Madison thing.
That's right. Make your marriage better.
Right.
By cheating.
Yeah, you heard that they got hacked, right?
Really?
Oh, you didn't know this?
No.
Well, all right. Does this worry you?
No, not really.
Good. All right. Sounds
I never
good.
Went that's, further than the fifth page.
That's the correct answer. No, they they hacked the Ashley Madison
their
site
database.
And got all the emails and information and everything. So right now there's some threats that it's going to be released. So that's the thing.
Who hacked into it?
Hackers.
Okay.
I think the group from the movie Sneakers.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with that film? So Robert Redford, Sidney Poitier, Dan Aykroyd.
Okay.
Sadly, rest in peace, River Phoenix. There must be a woman in there.
Yeah.
There must have been a female sneaker.
Sure.
Anyway.
I agree. Kira Sedgwick.
Sure.
Yeah.
As the sneaker. All right. Hey, folks, let me set the stage for you. Here's what's going on. The office is not as hot as normal. We normally, seriously.
Way to go. Take away all our excuses.
Normally, we are rotisserie heat.
Mm-hmm.
We are slowly rotating as we do our podcast, but this one, not so bad. It's all right.
Okay.
We've just come back from, we did a Totally Tintin podcast,
that's
as
true.
Usual,
yep.
67 hours long. Then we went and we had a white spot meal.
Yep.
We got the logiest meal they have.
Sure.
Which is, bless you, Pia Guerra is in the background.
Okay.
She's doing unrelated business.
All right.
You might count this as a guest appearance.
This is a lot of setup.
This is a lot of setup.
I hope you have a good gag at the end of this.
We have logied ourselves up.
Okay.
We've come back. We forgot to open the windows.
Yeah.
Stuffy as hell in here.
Sure.
I think we're breathing air that...
It'll be our most condescending show.
It'll be... That's right. Because that's what stuffy can also mean. So anyway, that's where we're at right now.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I've been waiting on paychecks for about 3 weeks right now that haven't come in, and I'm very angry about it. Anyway, so that's my backstory.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, my backstory.
Can I
say my backstory then?
Sure. Okay. First of all, you were a vet who was taken to the edge. You were pushed too far.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a veterinarian. I was taken to the edge. Pushed too far.
By a kitten.
By a scratchy kitten. Oh, and it likes to bite me too. So cute.
Dave, first blood.
My story is I'm a bachelor right now. I'm living the bachelor life.
Okay, last time you said you were going to be arrested. You told a whole long story, and then it turned out you weren't going to be arrested. So
yeah.
I don't know if I want to get snickered into this one. So,
my wife, Lisa, she's been away since last Wednesday. I took her to the airport.
Okay.
She's in Manitoba. I think
Woo!
We mentioned that last week. Yeah. Some people gonna have all the luck.
Manitoba represents.
Where she saw some pelicans. Did you know pelicans live in Manitoba? Me neither. But yeah.
Where do they live in Manitoba?
Apparently by a kind of a waterfall sort of thing that looks like by a reservoir.
Like that doesn't sound like nature. Why would the pelicans have stopped there?
Yeah, I know. It's weird.
I mean, I could see them doing this.
I could see them living in Louisiana, like around New Orleans. There's lots of pelicans there. That's why their basketball team changed its name from the Hornets to the Pelicans.
Also, more pleasant than a hornet. Who wants Hornets, a hornet?
Well, no, they're terrible cars. So,
but okay, yeah. Like I could see a pelican going, maybe there's a pelican like in Montreal and it's just going, I'm going to cross the country and see this great land. And then by the time they get to like Winnipeg, they're like, ugh, let's just stay here.
This land sucks.
How many rivers does it have? Two. Good. Let's just go there. Let's go wherever they meet.
The Assiniboine and what's the other one?
The Sassafras.
The Red River. The song Red River Valley is about the Red River Valley in Manitoba.
Okay.
There you go. I know a lot of people think it's an American song. It's not. It's a Canadian song.
So take that.
Red River Valley.
So she's there.
She's there.
She's teaching. She's pelicans.
She's teaching pelicans to ride horses. That's exactly right. It's very complicated. It's a government program.
Well.
It's about trying to coax them to stay a bit longer.
Yeah, the trickiest thing is getting to wear the cowboy hats.
The chaps as well. That's the hard part.
Yeah, that's a parallel joke.
Their lips are very...
Oh, tender. No, really? We're doing... Oh, boy. Okay, all right.
We're doing
you
what?
Ever see that movie
Six Degrees? I'm doing dumb jokes?
No, you're doing Six Degrees of Separation from your own joke.
190 shows in, and he's still doing dumb jokes.
Here's what it,
I can't believe
it's not
it,
a dumb joke. Here's what it is.
It's not even a joke.
No,
really.
It's fine. Okay. You're building like a 12-story tower,
okay.
And the basement is made of eggs.
You know what they call it? The Tower of Babel.
Okay, please continue.
My wife's away, and she's away till Friday.
Okay.
Yesterday, I took my two daughters, my two lovely daughters.
Why do you never mention your one ugly daughter?
Well, I disinherited her.
Okay.
We don't talk about her.
We just sing about her. Continue.
Glilis.
I'm not going to listen to the rest of this episode. This one doesn't sound like a good one. Go ahead.
You're not going to listen to the rest of the episode?
No, I don't think so.
So I took my two...
I'll be in it. I'm just not going to listen to it.
I took my two lovely daughters down to the airport in Seattle yesterday, and they flew down to L.A. So they're in L.A. till... next Tuesday.
Okay. Why are they in LA?
Well, my youngest is going to VidCon, which is for people who aren't under 20. VidCon is it's a conference for people like for YouTube stars.
Okay.
Yeah. So she's going there to meet.
How much? YouTube stars. How many hits do you need to be a YouTube star?
Do you not know? You're asking the wrong person. But it's a conference. She's going to go there. It's going to be there's like programming. There's panels and stuff like that. She's going to go to.
Okay.
It's so big.
How big is it?
They actually have to have a lottery for autographing.
Oh.
So, yeah. So that, you know, she had to give like a list of 10 people that she would like to meet out of all the people that are there, all the YouTube people, all the YouTube stars.
Yeah.
It feels weird saying stars, but they are stars. They're stars of YouTube.
Yeah.
And so she, you know, she put down 10 names and then they had a lottery and she was able to get one of the ones she wanted to see the most, she was able to go see. Not the not her absolute top, but just kind of second choice. So pretty good. So she's so happy with that. And my older daughter went down. I don't know why my older daughter went, actually. I'm not too sure. I think she just went down
California,
there for the...
California?
Yeah, it's California. They're going to go to Disneyland. They're going to spend 2 days at Disneyland.
Tons of stuff to do there.
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel weird? Like
they went to Long Beach today. They took the bus there and...
Oh, that sounds nice.
Spent the day, had shaved ice, and went swimming.
Cool.
Yeah.
Both things that make you think there isn't a drought. But there is.
There's still the ocean.
It feels very old-timey to me that they would have autograph sessions at VidCon. It feels like that should be very futury, and it's like, these are YouTube stars. Like,
yeah.
Okay. So what should they be doing
that's
they
futuristic?
They should, like your picture or something. They should, like, hit a button, and a giant thumb thumb will come up.
That seems a little impersonal.
Well, I don't know.
You want to meet the person?
Maybe they personalize. Yeah, I could see meeting. It's weird, the autograph thing. Like, I understand the idea behind an autograph is it justifies why you're talking to this person.
Yeah.
There's some sort of activity that
means
basically
let's call it a meet
nothing.
And greet. We don't have to call it. We don't say autograph.
Right.
They're taking
a selfie with you, and there you go. Maybe you do a little video or something, both of you guys together. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, more than an autograph situation.
It's interesting. I guess, I don't know. I suppose because this is, you know, unlike comic book conventions, there's a lot of those. Every city, every major city has a comic book convention, has a fan expo, has something like that, right?
Right.
And so a lot of these actors and people who kind of do the rounds, they're at more than one of them. So whereas this is, I guess, maybe the only one on the West Coast at VidCon. Maybe there's an East Coast one. I don't know. I don't know enough about it. I have to admit, I don't know much about even the actors and things. I've seen a lot of their videos because my daughter likes to share the laughs. So she's, Dad, you got to watch this.
Yeah.
Dad, you have to watch this one. But
I have a friend who became kind of like a YouTube woohoo about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point where like they were in YouTube's, you know, they do like a video at the end of the year where it's like all of them together do one giant video and
okay.
he was in it.
Cool.
And it was like, oh, it's one of those that everyone recognizes. But yeah, it's interesting. I wonder if the reason they have it in the, they just have one or maybe two is it wouldn't play other places. I wonder if that's the reason. Because it doesn't feel like these folks would all be super busy, right? Like super busy. No, they're all self-producers.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
Right. Yeah.
You know, if they could be promoting themselves, they'd probably, if you flew them out somewhere, they'd probably go.
Well, she's saying that one of them was doing a film 2 days before he was appearing at, he was just finishing a shoot. So mm-hmm. I don't know if it was a self-produced film that he was doing himself. But I mean, I imagine these are people.
I'm sure they're busy.
Yeah. And I think that they're very good at being busy, if you know what I mean. Like they're good at making their own deadlines, meeting, you know, so. Because, you know, they're doing very well. There's some of them. Well, like the two I recommended a couple of shows ago, I believe. I recommended a show called, I think it was called Ghost Chaser Corporation or Ghost. I can't remember what it's called now. But it was a British pilot for an idea of these two guys who hook up with this fake medium. And they decide they're going to become a ghost chase, you know, ghost hunters or whatever.
Right.
And these were two web stars. Like they're two guys who started off doing YouTube videos. Then they got a BBC show. And then they've got this pilot now as well that was produced by Brian Glazer, is that his name, and Ron Howard? Anyway,
okay.
So yeah.
Sounds
so,
right.
Yeah, so, you know, they kind of moved up the entertainment ladder from what they're doing on YouTube. But, you know, strictly because they were able to keep to this, you know, good habits, you know, keep the material pouring out there and stuff.
It is interesting.
It is an interesting thing because a lot of it is monologuing, you know, it's
very direct.
It's monologuing.
Very personal. You attach.
Yeah.
It's a lot like, again, podcasting. I don't know much about podcasting, but it's a lot about like podcasting where it's a more, personal, one-on-one kind of thing that you have with your, mm-hmm. with your viewer. So when you meet in person, I'm sure it's a little bit more intense.
Yeah.
More, you know, along those lines.
Yeah. And I think, and I'm sure that. In YouTube, and there's lots of different things too. I mean, something like the Lizzie Bennet Diaries, which was, mm-hmm. you know, a show produced by a company with a, you know, it's a set of writers, like show writers, and then actors. You know, that's also a YouTube thing. You know, so that kind of falls into that kind of web series thing. And I don't know if they would be there too. I'm not too sure, like what if they would be at VidCon. Or, like, so you could have web series there as well. So there's lots of those that are popular. The Guild being probably one of the most famous, but just things like that. That
You do see people obviously like the Guild and whatnot mm-hmm. at cons as long as it's like genre based.
Yeah,
and it's a very loyal, interesting, intense audience.
Mm-hmm. So that's where Eve is, and Mary went along just for the fun of it. And it's good that she did because Eve and a friend had talked about this last year, and their graduation plans were they were going to graduate. That's the first part of the plan.
Okay, box checked.
Yeah, and then they were going to drive down to VidCon.
Right.
Which I was all for, actually. You know, I showed them Vacancy, went watched Motel Hell.
Yeah.
Said, you know, these are the things to look for. You know, just make sure you don't.
The Vanishing, the whole thing.
The Vanishing. Vanishing, that's a dumb movie. But I'm thinking of the European one. I never saw the American one.
Okay.
The European one, that's a dumb movie.
Really?
Did you see it?
No, I didn't. I saw the American one just because I read what the
It's European dumber than the I don't know. I heard the American one is dumb, but the European one seems even dumber.
Okay. Well, we can get into spoilers on that.
Yeah, I think we could spoil a film from 20 years ago.
Wow.
Isn't it 20 years ago? It's 20 years old,
Why
that film.
Why are you so angry at two decades?
Like, I'm angry at the idea of there being spoilers.
Film being old.
No, I'm just angry at the idea of spoilers. I mean, come on.
Well, I mean, someone recently spoiled the Thin Man movie for me.
Right. No, I did not spoil it for you.
Not you.
Oh, okay.
No, my sister-in-law.
I spoiled it for everyone else.
Sure.
Who listens to the show.
Okay, here's the thing. Here's the difference. Vanishing, a European version. Bummer. Vanishing.
No, dumber.
Okay, dumber. Vanishing, American version. Oh, no. It's
predictable.
No, it's the exact same. It's the exact same ending. And then, but wait, I've got an idea. Yay! Happy ending. So it was all
Wait
fine.
A second. How does it end?
Everything's fine. They found the person, and then it was
See, the dumb thing in the...
And then they went after the bad guy, and then they won the end.
Stupid. See, the European version...
It's really pretty stupid.
But the European version stupid, too, where the guy becomes, like, drawn into this guy's boring pedestrian life.
Let me tell you... I'll just say real quick what it would be like. Yeah. It would be like, you know, you really like how The Ring ended, right?
Yep.
Okay, so imagine, like, the ending of The Ring, and the kid's like, no, you freed the girl. No, that's the worst thing you could do. And then the next thing you see, Dan Aykroyd comes in his Ghostbusters outfit with a smoldering box and goes... We got her. Bum, 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 bum. Roll credits. Everything's fine.
That would have been surprising.
Yeah.
In the European version,
Ringu.
The guy becomes like, you know, he knows that this guy killed his girlfriend.
Yeah.
He knows he's the murderer.
Okay.
Does he turn him into the police? Nope. Does he become fascinated by him and become a part of his life? Yep. Does he let him convince him to be killed by the guy? Yep. Does he get killed by the guy? Yep.
Probably. Leave it hanging, but yeah. Probably. No, if you wait a few seconds.
Hanging there too long.
No, I think if it's a few seconds. Because again, it's the exact same thing. They do the exact same thing in the American version, only you wait a few seconds longer.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I'll get myself out of this with the old American know-how. Let me just shoot my way out. Bang, bang, bang. And use these hot dogs to prop up the slats. And I'm going to work it up. And hey, what's that, eagle? You've come to dig me out? Thanks, boy. And fly me to that guy.
I'll attack him with my fireworks.
That's right.
Take this Roman candle. Yeah, no, it's not. It's not a good film. It's terrible. But anyway, enough of that. Enough of that bummer. So, so instead of driving down, they decided they're going to fly down because you're not wasting a week.
Because there's no movies about airplane crashes.
Well, sure, we watched Airplane, but it's kind of a fun movie. But no, it's...
And the crashening.
The crashening. The cring. It's faster to fly. That's the long and short of it. And it's actually probably cheaper to fly.
That's why Superman's going to win in that fight against Batman.
And it's probably cheaper to fly down, you know, after the gas and the motel expenses and everything like that.
And you eat on the road and
Yeah, it all adds up.
You hit a hobo, you got to pay a little shut up money.
That's exactly right. Then they know what you did last summer. So then they flew down.
It's a lot of bad movies along the way.
It's true enough. So I saw them off at the airport yesterday. You know, it's weird. You know, I lost my job. Mm-hmm. So I'm feeling like kind of rejected. So that's like you're kind of emotionally exposed after
that. Yeah, you're
tender. Yeah.
A turtle without a
shell.
Then
my wife is gone.
Right.
So like a major like support in my life is away. And then I was saying goodbye to my girls yesterday and I was just like, oh, so it was so sad. I was just like, oh, this is terrible. This is like the worst day. And I was so proud of them for going, though.
Yeah.
You know, just to do this big thing without us.
Yeah, that's great.
That's great. So, I'm not, but I got to say that my idea that I'd be celebrating risky business like at home without anyone there, just being by myself, I could be having a good time and stuff. It's not. It's me moping around, missing everybody, you know, sending messages via Facebook to, how's everyone doing? Anyone out there? Hello. It's just Dad writing. Yeah.
You getting on the roof singing Somewhere Out There.
Yeah, it's weird. I guess I've lost that. I used to love, and maybe I don't mind the house being empty if I come home every once in a while, but I always used to think that I was self-sufficient in that sense. Not financially self-sufficient. No, I'm financially sufficient. I'll tell you that right now. But emotionally self-sufficient, that I could like live on my own, you know, and I'd be fine in a isolated me out there. I could do that so easily, sure. Blah, blah, blah. No, this has taught me that I'm not. I'm extremely attached to my family, like so attached that it's sad. That I'm this needy, I guess.
No,
it's weird.
Fine. It's also, it's like, what is it? Is it the first day away from them? First day being alone at the house?
This is the longest that Lisa and I have been away from each other since I worked in the fishing boat
okay.
in 1994.
So that's hard on its own.
So that's a long time. That's a long time.
And you say the girls left yesterday?
Yeah, I drove the girls down yesterday.
It's totally new, too.
So, and this is a new feeling, too, because the girls... I mean, I've been getting used to Mary being away, because Mary's been working at a camp for five days a week. So that's away a long time. But then Eve's home, so it's not like I'm completely daughterless or whatever, you know. Now it's... Because this Eve and I, for the last little while, till Mary came back from camp for a day, and then we drove down yesterday to take her to the... it's harsh.
Yeah.
It's hard stuff. Don't like it. So I was watching a video today that was just like this weird... It's not that the video was weird. It was sensible. It was about not texting while you're driving. But I found it really... I was actually crying while I was watching. I was like, what the hell am I doing? I would never cry at something like this.
Right. And you were like looking at it while driving?
Well, of course. because I, you know, I have, I, my plan is free data, right? So free,
yeah,
free Wi-Fi everywhere.
You just whip as fast as possible to different free Wi-Fi locations.
Yeah. Well, no, it's just not free Wi-Fi, but free streaming. Like I just free data, right?
So I have unlimited
data. That's what I meant to say. Unlimited data, so it's fine. I can just watch it wherever I am, whether I'm driving or not.
So what was the
What
was the video
of? The video, it was an AT&T video. Telling us not to text and drive. And the way it's very interesting because it kind of sets up different people and you're not sure what's going to happen with them. So it starts with a boy watching traffic and he's counting the traffic. I'm not too sure why. And he gets up to a certain number and he goes, crap. And then he gets on his bike and he rides off this overpass sort of thing. And he's just sort of riding. He's sort of talking to himself as he's riding. And he's kind of an endearing kid. Like you kind of like him. And then you cut to a woman and her daughter getting ready to go somewhere and she can only bring one doll with her. And so then she just brings Elizabeth, her doll Elizabeth, and they go out to her, this woman's SUV, and she's getting her daughter in. Then you cut to a guy, he's at a gas station and he's just paying and he, you know, it's this amount. And so he decides to buy a lottery ticket. And then he goes out to his truck and he's talking to his, he gets in the truck and he's talking to his wife on a handless or whatever, like on a Bluetooth sort of setup. And he's saying, you know, don't worry, I bought a lottery ticket, we're set, you know, and they're talking about brokers and stuff. So I imagine they're either trying to sell their house or something's going on right in their life. So he's driving and then cuts to a lady who's taking care of an elderly Hispanic man. And she talks to him in Spanish and she says she's going to be outside and she's outside watering the lawn. So you have all these kind of things set up.
Yeah.
And so this boy's riding on his bike and you're just like, oh man, I hope this boy doesn't get hit. And what's the lady got to do with this? And what's the guy doing? And so then and it cuts to, you know, the guy driving, talking to his wife, and then this woman talking with her daughter. And there's a ding, and she goes, oh, someone likes that picture I posted to you on Facebook. And she looks at her phone. And just at that moment, there's just like the most tremendous crash of these two vehicles smashing into each other. So realistic seeming. Like,
yeah.
This is huge smash. Yeah. And the woman and the girl tumbling in the car, and you see the girl in the car. And then it's everything's just kind of silent. And then it goes backwards from that. And then other people are just witnesses to it. So the boy is watching it and the woman's, you know, kind of drops her hose or whatever, turns around rapidly. And then the old man's looking from the window at this terrible crash. And then it's all silent. And then it starts going backwards. And the car kind of starts rolling. And then they, you know, disconnect from each other and go back. The one car goes back into its proper lane. And then it just says, you know, this text, email, da-da-da, is not worth it. And it's just... For me at this time, I was just like, holy crap, boy, that really got me. I was just like...
That was very
But I'm sweet. I'm a little emotional right now,
right.
I have to say. So.
On the way to the white spot, we were telling you not to look at your phone today too, right?
Yes.
Remember that?
I was at a red light.
Yeah, okay.
I was at a red light.
The tender heart part, okay, worked, but the message probably didn't.
It was at a red light. I would not be doing it when I was driving.
We should not have watched... It's good we didn't watch that together. Because here's me. Anytime I see something like that, I laugh like nobody's business.
Why?
Anytime there is a car accident, especially in a drinking driving, mother against drunk driving thing.
Sure.
And it's just like, smash!
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's the funniest thing I've ever
seen.
Is it
a nervous thing?
I don't know, but I will instantly howl with laughter at a car hitting another car. I do not know why.
Because Lisa will laugh when she's nervous.
Uh-huh.
And it makes her laugh so hard. Like if she's on a roller coaster, she'll laugh and laugh through the whole ride. Or if you fall off your horse when you're with her, she'll laugh so hard. Not because she thinks it's funny that you fell, but because she's worried and nervous and it's a nervous
thing
for her to do.
Maybe it is. Maybe it is. You know, I'm trying to think of times that I was hit by a car as a kid. I saw a car flip over once when I was a kid. That was a kind of traumatic thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. It's just how they do it.
Yeah.
If I'm watching a movie, same deal.
Is that right?
And then a car rams another car. It's just... so funny to me, and I don't know why. I can't break it down and just go, I find it funny because of this, but that.
Yeah.
But especially in a drunk driving ad.
Hmm.
I think it might be because it's so heavily set up.
Yeah. Oh, it is. And this is set up too, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. I wouldn't normally cry at it.
Oh, no,
it's
no,
just
no.
that where I am today, it's really affected me in
a
weird way.
Oh, and I cry at ads all the time. I cry so easy. I'll cry. I think, and I did, I end up seeing Ant-Man. I think that's the first Marvel movie I haven't cried at.
Hmm.
But other people I was with were crying.
Hmm.
So I'm a hard-hearted son of a bitch.
Just don't like ants.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. But no, I'll cry. I'll cry at ads, like, in a heartbeat. Like, you put anything with a dog, oh, done. You know, the dog, the guy left. The guy came back. Dog loves him. Cry. Done. Do that with a cat. Same thing. Cry. Done. Absolutely.
Interesting.
Car hits another car. Woohoo! Hilarious.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, and the other thing I watched today was this. Someone posted a video, a friend of ours, a former friend of the show, Richard Starkings, actually. It was on episode 19, was he? Anyway, he...
let's listen to it in its entirety right now.
The whole episode, yeah. With Richard Starkings?
Yeah.
If you want to.
Hello, hello. I'm Richard Starkings, I am.
I am.
Elephant men, I do. And I like to letter is what I is. I'm a letterman is what I am.
A letter and a chimney sweep.
That's right. He doesn't listen to the show, does he?
Okay, I don't think so. No, okay. Who does?
All right.
No one we know listens to the show. That's a good thing about it. So, yeah, it was a...
He posted a video.
He posted a video of this man who is clearly not 100% sane.
Right.
He's just probably a street person,
mm-hmm.
I'm guessing.
Shirtless.
Long hair. Big beard. This is not a beard, but just a big halo of hair.
You're
all
right,
around.
Correct.
His,
okay. Yeah.
He looked kind of like an insane person.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they look.
If you were casting for a street person...
Yeah. He is who you'd go to.
Right.
And he seems a little damaged. I don't know whether it's drugs or just his life. That's how he is. That's how he's...
Though, to be fair... Sorry, I got
don't
a
be
tangent
fair.
For a second.
Don't
I just
be fair.
Say, like, street person on TV, much heavier. Street people...
yeah.
Homeless person on a Law & Order episode.
Well, they're wearing a lot of clothes.
They are wearing a lot of clothes, yeah. But not enough clothes to cover the fact that you're... Kind of heavy set. They almost all are. I don't know why they cast homeless people that way on TV, but they
except for that
do.
One with the guy who killed a lady with a sword because he was schizophrenic.
Okay,
very early on in the run.
Right,
the only ones I know because I only watched the first couple
of
seasons.
And then it was a weird twist. Like he pulled it out of her and became King of England.
Strange,
because they all went right from his perspective at that
exactly.
point.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Please.
She was the lady in the lake of blood, and so then. Yeah, it was an interview with this person. So someone was asking him questions like, and they're hard questions. Like he was answering them better than I would, to be honest.
Okay.
It was like, what's the meaning of life? You know, which that's a hard question.
Right.
What
you want to? Yeah, my answer to that one always is none of your business.
Do you have a message for young people? That's a hard question. I don't have a message for young people.
No, of course you don't. You shouldn't. Your message to young people should be, okay, you know what, just ask me these first. What's your message to young people? Your message to young people isn't something verbal because they don't speak the same language as you. Your message to young people is through your actions, and then they see those actions, and if those actions make sense, they'll duplicate those actions. But verbally means nothing because they've seen, for the most part, older people tell them things that they don't actually do, and they've seen the hypocrisy of that. So the only way to actually have a message for young people is to act.
I think that's probably true, but that's not really a message to young people. But
your message is your actions.
That's that's his message, though. He says he basically says your actions follow your heart.
Yeah,
which I think is a very interesting, very deep idea, actually, that you are guided by your heart. Your actions are guided by your heart. Because what that says is your bad actions are also guided by. If you're acting in a bad manner, uh-huh. then you need to get your heart in order.
Okay. Well, what guides your heart then? Let's take it to that next stage.
Well, how do you mean? What guides your heart?
Well, if you're asking like your actions are guided by your heart.
Well, let's just take heart and make it into mind if you prefer.
What guides your mind? Why
does something have to guide your mind?
Well,
do you mean like
does.
Remote control cars and
no.
someone's controlling us?
No, but why? Okay. If you're okay, again, let's just do the math here. So your actions are guided by your mind. We'll do that.
Okay.
So mind, soul, spirit, heart, whatever,
sure, whatever.
You want,
yeah.
Whatever you say.
Yeah.
What is okay? Let's do this. Is your mind something separate from you, or is your mind you? Is that just you?
Oh yeah, it's integrally you.
It's
course.
You. So
yeah.
it's you. So then, what guides you? Can you control you? Can,
yeah, of course you can.
So what's controlling you? Okay, that's the problem then. So
it's not a problem.
No, it
the
is.
Problem
no,
is
the
if
problem
you
is...
are allow- listen, if
yeah.
you are allowing
yeah.
your actions
mm-hmm.
to be guided, if you are, how do you want to say this? If you are allowing your actions,
mm-hmm.
if you are performing evil actions, if you are knowingly doing bad things, those are things that are changeable. That's not a problem. You can guide yourself away from that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's saying.
But no, the problem there is you can't say it like that. Like, well, you can, and you just did. But here's
you can't. Okay. You can't say that.
All right. But what? Okay. So you're doing evil actions. You're saying you can change those.
Yeah.
But you can't change those unless you realize why you did those evil actions. You can't.
Do you have to be why, or just that you did.
Do
you have to understand your actions, or can you correct them?
I think if you want permanent change, yeah. If I
think habits.
Here's the thing.
Don't necessarily have to be.
If I'm punching guys on the street, okay. When I'm mad, yeah. I'm seeing a guy and the guy's pissing me off,
yeah.
And so I get out of my car and I punch him because he pisses me off. Yeah. Okay. I can either go, I'm going to stop punching guys.
Yeah.
That's and you can, yeah. And that's okay, but still, your instinct is still going to be to punch those guys, right?
Okay.
Because that's going to be there immediately. That's reflex. That's sure. The first thing that comes to your mind is punch, and you got to go, whoa, don't punch. Whereas I'm saying, like, you should probably find out, why am I wanting to punch these guys all the time? And if you can take care of that, you're probably more likely to not want to do those evil actions of the violence and whatever.
It's possible.
Like, why are you stealing?
But I think
why
that can be. I think that can be a chicken and an egg thing. I think that you can stop it and understand it just as much as
you
can. I think
you do both. You stop the bad behavior.
Yeah.
But what's your motivation to stop the bad behavior? Because obviously it wasn't strong enough to stop the bad behavior the first time.
Well, what's the motivation to stop any bad behavior? You hope is how it affects you.
Okay, but all right, so you're bad.
I mean, how it affects others, but most of us don't care how what we do affects others. That's not important to most people.
I think it is.
It is to a degree, but we can rationalize a lot of our behavior.
Yes, you can rationalize.
And make it seem
true.
Very good when you're being very
bad.
But
if you stole, okay, say you shoplift.
Okay.
Okay. So you shoplift, and your motivation for shoplifting is because I want that thing.
Yeah.
And I can't get in it, or it's a thrill, or whatever it is.
Sure.
And there you go. And you can either then say, all right, to say I'm going to stop shoplifting, there's a bit of inside you that then has to go, well, we'll go. Why? Because the drive to shoplift is still there, and you've got to counter it with a good enough why. And the why could just be to be a better person. And you go, fair enough. I'm going to try and be a better person.
Yeah.
And we're going to do that. And maybe that'll work. That could be. That's your quitting cold turkey. Gosh darn it. But your other part, I think, which is a better way to go, is to go, why am I stealing? And you know, instead of why should I stop stealing, it's why am I stealing?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you can find out why that is, then you could probably counter that in a better way to not do that bad thing in the future.
I think you know why it's bad, so you don't need to.
No, you know why it's bad,
yeah.
But you don't know why you're doing it. Like, why are you doing the bad thing? Like, you know, I've done self-destructive things in my past.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I used to, you know, really beat myself up, or like when I'm angry, I'd like punch a wall and break things, and I'd be really fucking angry, and I do that, and then I would tell myself, you're not going to do that anymore.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that anymore. And I used to say that repeatedly, and until I, you know, met Pia, I still kept doing it, though, because when the bad thing happened that triggered it, it would come up like a volcano.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not the time when the rational self comes out and goes, hey, guys, let's just all settle down. It's like, no, this everything is fuck right now. Everything is so fucking fucked. I don't want to feel this emotion, so I'm going to punch something, and I will then it'll be pain, but pain I can deal with, and pain will come and then will fade.
Sure.
But the pain inside me won't. So I can go, I'm not going to do this. But then what do you do? Because you've still got the volcano going inside you.
Sure.
And if you don't know the reasons for why this is coming out, it's a tough thing to cork. And I have stopped doing that, though, in the last week. I was so angry over some things that have happened that, yeah, it like came up again, and it was really, really difficult. Like I did end up punching like a door frame.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Pia saw me and just went, all right, don't be doing that. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. Okay. Even though I rationally know I shouldn't punch a door frame, I need my hand. I need to type. I need to do things with my hand.
Yeah.
It just all hurts so much that it was like, though I know it's the wrong thing to do. But that's the thing. But back to the video.
Yeah, I
think you got something from the video that I'm not letting you get out.
Well, that's okay, because it's hard for me to remember, because what I experienced was, you know, it's when you watch something like that, what you are taking from it is what you already feel about something.
Yeah,
right?
it's so you listen to that and you go, you're relating.
That's right.
Yeah.
You go, okay, you know, I believe in that idea of love as this super important guiding principle, you know, and that your heart should, you know, follow that principle as much as you can. And if you go off that principle, if you shoplift, which I did a lot when I was a teenager, I shoplifted it a lot. Not just Not just like chocolate bars. I never did chocolate bars, but like
that's not true.
Art supplies and
you
stuff
did
like
do
that.
Chocolate
I did do some chocolate bars, but also art supplies and stuff like
that. Sorry to call you out on.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
one.
No. I meant not just like small items and but big expensive things too, like art supplies and things like that, and books from stores. Mm-hmm. Like I did a lot when I was a kid.
I'll out myself then and say I took money from a theater company that I was with when I was working ticket sales because I was literally starving at the time. So I would like take like $10 and I would buy food that night. Mm-hmm. So at the time I know it's wrong, but my future self now looks back at my past self and goes, yeah, okay, easy, buddy. I understand that was tough and you need to eat. Sure. So anyway, okay. But
continue. Well, if you can forgive yourself for that, it's important. For me, it's less forgivable because I wasn't starving to death. I didn't need to eat a pen. I just wanted to have a rapidograph pen, and so I took it.
How'd you feel after you took it?
Fine.
Did you feel any different? Did you feel a bit of a thrill from it, or was it?
No. I just needed it. So there's no like, well, maybe there's a sense of victory. Like, I didn't even notice that I took that stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm the best shoplifter there ever was. But eventually, you know, after a while, you feel icky. Like, what a creep I am. I'm stealing from people. So it wasn't a big revelation. Like, I am going to understand why I steal. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think there was much to understand. I stole because I wanted something and I was not working. I didn't have any money, so I'll just take it. That's fair, right? So, yeah, it was just a matter of saying to myself, you know what, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm done with shoplifting. And maybe I'm a different sort of person that can make those sort of pledges
or
whatever.
What triggered that? Was there a trigger?
No, I think it was just
an
accumulation of CD behavior. Like that to me is not good behavior.
Okay, even for second of stealing CDs.
No, sorry. CD like SEEDY, yeah. Like this kind of squalid behavior.
Right,
you know?
So it's a slow build of like, ugh, yeah. I don't know where this is.
Yeah, exactly. What kind of person am I? Who am I to myself?
Well, let's look at something like an addiction, like, you know, someone who's drinking. And like, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure there are people, like your equivalent would probably be in this, someone who drinks and like, I probably drink too much. And then it's like, you know, but you're enjoying drinking. It's like, I deserve a drink and I'm going to have a drink and I'm going to drink. And then you drink and you drink and you do and you drink. And then over time you go like, nah, I don't really like who this is. I'm not going to drink anymore.
Yeah.
And there are people that do that. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's the common story of like, and now I'm going to stop drinking, period.
Yeah, I think that's a hard... That's probably harder to do. I mean, I think, is shoplifting an addiction? I guess it could be an addiction.
Oh,
but
of course, yeah. Stealing? Absolutely. Kleptomania? Yeah, absolutely.
I guess. I don't think I was at that point. I wasn't unconsciously doing it or driven to do it.
My thing is like, if you don't have a, all right, you've got a couple of things going on. One, you've got the impulse.
Yes.
And the impulse is the immediate, whatever, satisfaction of you're going to have that mm-hmm. thing. So you've got to
want that Marx Brother book.
Right. So just basic, you know, emotional physics, you've got to have something that's strong as at least that impulse to counter that impulse.
Yeah.
You know, and whether that's a sense of self that goes, I've got the willpower to not do that. And that's a satisfaction you've got inside yourself. And it's like, yes, that would be enough. But I think... I don't know if a lot of people have that. And I think a lot of people think, you know, I'm just going to stop this thing.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, whatever their addiction, whatever their compulsion, whatever the thing they do that they don't like about themselves, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, I'm going to keep all my receipts and really nail taxes this year. Whatever it is, that thing.
I have never lied to myself like that.
Right. Well, whatever it is, it's just like, okay, I'm going to write 10,000 words a day or whatever you're going to do, whatever your thing is, you know, backing it up with, you know, I'm just going to do it with willpower because this is the way I want it to be. I think you often need a stronger root than that, or some people do. I think I do.
I think you're right. I agree with you in that sense of it. I don't think this person was talking about the idea of, you know, you could change bad behavior immediately, or that it somehow was a magical pill, but just the idea that you're aware. You know, we have to be aware of our actions. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what he's talking about more, I think, than an awareness and not necessarily an absolute change of our behavior. Because that is hard to affect, you know. And it's, you know, he's a lunatic who's talking to us. I don't mean to say that in a mean way. You know, there's moments when he's talking where he cannot express the words that he wants to say and he'll make a farting sound, mm-hmm. you know, just because he's not all there. It's an unfortunate thing. But it's still interesting to hear someone who does have mental problems, does have obvious problems. You know, he's living in a world that he cannot make his way through the way everyone else is.
Yeah.
And yet still he has this wisdom that he's, you know, can say to us. Mm-hmm. And it's still meaningful, you know, it's interesting to me. I really, you know, and it, once again, I think it's a more symptomatic of where I am emotionally right now than, than, you know, so I'm bringing something to it. I'm
you're also, you know, you've had a couple of major routines broken, and that's tough, period. You know, you're
I feel worthless right now.
You're not.
No, but that's how I feel right now.
I understand. Yeah. I understand. And that's not true. So just as long as you know that, you're, how you feel
it's hard to
intellectually.
What is,
absolutely. Well, I don't even know if it's intellectually you feel that way. I think if you looked at it intellectually, you would not feel you're worthless.
No, that's what I mean. Intellectually, I know I'm not worthless.
Okay, but emotionally.
But emotionally right now, I'm going through this feeling of,
You've been.
I'm the least productive person in our family.
Okay, well, clearly. Intellectually, you know that's not true. So you've gone through a trauma. Okay, you've gone through a trauma. Now, are you the kind of person that when you go through a trauma.
I want to kill myself.
Okay. Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. When you go through a trauma, though, do you allow yourself the feeling that, like, it's okay to feel this trauma, or should you be a strong guy who should just be able to get through this?
Oh, yeah. Totally a strong guy.
You should be the strong guy that should not let this hit you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if this kind of thing happened to any other member of your family, the people you love, your blood, you know, if they went through the same thing that you were going through right now, would you think they were weak?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
Right.
But I just, how I feel I should go through it is different than.
Right. Where do you think that's from?
I think it's just you know, just you're living up to some sort of stereotype of how males should behave, right?
This is where I'm going with my fucking point, and I'm going to make it about me right now.
Sure, you can do that,
and then I'm going to throw it back to you. This is you can look at it, and I know you've got like religious background, but I almost look at it as a demon you got to kill. And it's like, what's the demon's power? And the demon's power is it can hook onto all this stuff, and it's like, what fuels the demon? The demon is hooked by society says men don't cry, and it grabs that, and society says you got to do this, and if you're this, you're weak, and then here's something my mom said when I was seven. Let me just grab that. Oh, and my dad did this to me once. Blah, put that there. And that fuels the fucking demon.
Yeah.
And you could, if you could reason, you could try to reason with that fucking demon. But the demon would just go, nah, I'm attached to your heart, man. Can't fucking get rid of me. And you got to find something that counters it emotionally, you know? And I think one of the ways to do that is to try to treat yourself as fair as you treat the other people that you love in your life. And that's like, if you wouldn't do this to your wife, you shouldn't do this to yourself. If you wouldn't do this to your daughter, you shouldn't do this to yourself. Because you've got as much worth as they do, for sure. Because they're not fucking stupid. Mm-hmm. And they love you. So if they love you, and they know what they're doing, and they're worthwhile, then you're fucking worthwhile.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you.
Otherwise, they're idiots. And are you calling on this show your wife and your daughters idiots?
I would never
emotional
do,
idiots.
I would never do that out
okay,
loud.
There you go.
It's interesting. In the when we do our, what is it called now? Sort of penitence or whatever, like our moment of when we ask God for forgiveness during the service. Before your communion, you cleanse yourself by asking for forgiveness.
Right.
So then you go to communion as a pure person. And so what in the prayer is, you know, I have not loved God as I ought. I have not loved my neighbors as I ought. And I have not loved myself as I ought.
Right.
You know, so it's three parts.
Which is the hardest of that?
The hardest one is to love yourself.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Because you cannot, you cannot take that. That's the hardest thing everyone faces in the world. And that's what sin is more than anything. Sin is something that separates us from each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it doesn't, not just that it separates us from God, which is also important, but that it separates us from each other because you've created this thing that you do that you don't want to tell people about. And so it becomes a secret part of your life that shuts you off from people. So whether that's secret drinking or shoplifting or drugs or whatever, they're all things that we do that we're embarrassed about and feel shame about and hide from each other. So either you can be proudly a drug taker, I guess that's one option, that you put it out there. I do this. If you don't like it, then you don't like me.
Sure.
Or you can stop doing it, depending how it's affecting your life. You know, with any of those things, drinking or any of those things, you know, if it's a sneaky part of your life that you're embarrassed about, then it's probably not good for you, you know, because you are closing yourself off from other people. And that's a big part of the story of Genesis, for instance, is this idea of sin is as a constant growing, you know, encasing us away from each other. You know, it starts with Adam and Eve and it grows out from them in this concentric circle of sin as it keeps growing and affecting everything around in the story, you know. So it's an interesting concept of that. And yeah, and it comes back to the fact that the hardest thing to love in the world is yourself. Because we know ourselves so well. We know ourselves better than anyone knows us.
You're also told that it's shameful to love yourself.
That's true in a way. Yeah,
you
you're
can
right.
You can praise someone else, but if you praise yourself as a child,
yeah,
you will be shut down. And if you praise yourself in public, mm-hmm. you'll be shut down.
Yeah,
you're right.
You're right. Yeah, there's a overvaluation of modesty. That's for sure. I'm a very modest person, and I was made that way. Mm. I was made to be modest. You know, even when your parents praised you, you couldn't take it and run with it.
Well, you know? They would also praise you in, okay. You know, they would give you, you know, the I love you. I hope they would give you the I love you. But they'll give you the I love you, and that's the all-encompassing I love you.
Mm-hmm.
But they would praise you for specific things for the most part. There were the things they wanted of you, whether it was good grades or what you did or you cleaned your room or you did something that was the thing they wanted of you, right?
Yeah.
So you completed a task. You behaved in a way that they wanted to. It's not necessarily I'm proud of you for who you are and what you are. I'm proud of this thing that you did. You got A's. I'm proud of you. You know, you did this. You had something. I'm proud of you. But
that's true. True to a degree. Actually, my mom does not control by praise.
And yet, I saw. It's interesting. I remember at your wedding, your dad's speech about you and how proud he was of you. And I remember that. And that was really something.
That's funny. See, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah.
I remember his praise for Lisa.
Yeah, he broke down crying talking about, you know, her. I remember that. But then he was also talking about you and how proud he was of you. Yes.
That's nice. Well,
was just general full-on pride.
Yeah.
At who you'd become.
I remember when I was in grade 2 probably, I wrote a short story about myself being trapped up a tree by an alligator or something like that. I don't remember it now very clearly, but I remember my dad reading it and laughing so hard and saying, "You should write for the Jack Benny show." And that seemed like such great praise, because it's not praise of you got a good mark. It's not praise of, like, you know what I mean? It's just this kind of general, like, oh, that's recognizing the thing itself as being value, having value.
Right.
And that was probably very important to me, because obviously I barely knew who Jack Benny was, but I understood what he meant, that he's so funny.
Nice reference, Dad.
Yes. How old do you think I am?
Yeah.
You should write for Sesame Street. No, it's it's just
write for Amos and Andy. good racial humor.
Kingfisher. It was really meaningful to me, because it wasn't just praise of, you know, oh, you're doing getting good marks, or, you know,
the things that are traditional. It was something unique to you.
I did not get a lot of praise in school.
No,
so
I understand.
Fine.
I understand, but it's something like, it wasn't something that your brothers would get praise for.
Exactly.
It wasn't something that other.
Yeah.
Now here's I think where the problem lies. And again, I'm not a therapist.
I play one on a podcast.
But here's the thing: it's like, so when you're a kid, you get praise from, you hope, your parents.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you get a little from your school. You can't praise yourself. If you praise yourself, boo on you. So then you grow out of your parents, and you're living on your own. And it's like, where's the praise come from now?
Okay.
And then you feel like, if you've been trained, if I praise myself, well, now I'm an egotist, and that's a bad thing to do. So you look for praise elsewhere, and you might find praise from, or if not praise, justification for you being fucking alive.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, I'm doing this, so that means my job is there. I've justified my existence, and I'll take that as praise. And thank you very much. And okay, maybe I won this award or something, and I'll take that as praise. And there we go. And then, I could see, like, as things are taken away, and then it's like, okay, so who is keeping you up? Who's now raising you up and saying that you have worth right now? And you've taken all those things away, and then you've also gotten rid of the people you love in your house, so you're alone. Holy shit, that must be hard. That must be so fucking hard. Yeah,
I guess that's
totally
it.
Understand.
I guess
of course
it.
You're crying at AT&T commercials. How could you fucking not? You know, the one thing is, it shows is you're not a broken man yet. Because, you know, it means your spirit works, at least to some degree. You've got something going on there.
Yeah, no, it's a strange. I mean, we're a very close family, so it's weird.
Yeah, there's a source of pride.
I guess so.
Yeah, literally, you're a pride. There's a reason to call it that, man. What? Anyway, no, that's a terrible zoological reference.
It's
an
odd thing. No, it's...
Yeah, you're the dad, you're lazy, the woman does all the work, you get all the praise.
So true, it's really awkward to hear it, actually, spoken out loud.
Listen, just go eat a lot and go take a 20-hour nap.
Yeah.
That's what I'm telling you.
Yes. I'm nutritionally sufficient. Need someone to give me the nutrition, like a lion.
No, I live with I live around a lot of actors, and I just see a hunger in their eye. Like I just see the praise hunger. They got to have something that justifies.
I mean, that's a profession where when you put yourself out there, so you really want to get something out of it.
Yeah,
but also it's,
and then when they get it, they gorge, and it's ugly, and it's.
I love praise. I have to say.
Oh, I understand. I understand. But it's not, if it's all from external sources, like I'm not going to say the name of the friend of mine, but I had a friend of mine who, you know, seemed like one of the most well-balanced guys I know, but he was an actor.
George Detson.
Sure. That's right. Yeah. He will be born 1,000 years from now. and then he got incredible success fairly fast.
Okay.
To the point where, you know, he went on the autograph circuit. He was the lead in a TV show that was like a major TV show. He was like, he had this whole system at his house where his wife was like assembling all his photographs, headshots, and he would like autograph them in the morning, and she would mail them all out to fans and people that would write him and whatnot. And then that all kind of faded away, and you could see, like, when I still go see him, you just see the hunger. The hunger's still there. And like, you know, and so you go to, you know, certain conventions where it's this really tight group of fans that are still there that still feed you with it.
Yeah.
And it feels like you're getting it. It feels like you're getting it. You can see it. And it's just like, oh boy, this is so
unhealthy.
I don't know if it's unhealthy. If you balanced it with your own self, I don't want to say self-love, that sounds weird, but if you balanced it with something that you're giving yourself that's permanent, that does feel more healthy, holy shit. Oh boy. You know, and now that cycle seems to be going again with them. Because there something has happened that's like good in that way. And I'm like, oh well, that's good, but is it? But I don't know. But I see that with so many people I know that get that success. It's just like, they're just like a fucking mess afterward. It's like lottery winners. They're just like, well, the money, you're getting it from an outside source, and it's like you're not generating it yourself inside.
Yeah. But it's a talent you have that parents can't praise you for. You know, they can't praise you for your good acting. That's not in a parent's vocabulary, you know, of a particular generation.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's different now. I don't know.
Well, the stuff that I did, my parents couldn't understand. And I think, I always think like comedy is similar, though I'm glad your dad liked your humor. I always think comedy is almost close to like, you know, it's almost like close to sex. It's like, it's something that you and your parents should be separated from.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents should never find you attractive, and they should never find you funny.
Mm.
And if they do, they'll find you and like, he's adorable. And isn't he clever?
Well,
and
that's fine. I was in grade 2, so there probably was an element of that.
That's right. And aren't you a handsome young man?
Yeah. I think they found my later comedy was much less appealing.
Yeah. You know? But I think like in both of us, it's odd when I see like, you know, a parent who just like thinks their kid is hilarious. Mm. I mean, though you do, I know.
yeah, I don't think it's that odd, really.
I know, but I think you've got a bit of a different situation in that you are a very close family, and you bonded over a lot of stuff, and you watched a lot of shows together, and you read to your daughters, and you were very funny to your daughters, and it's I think it's a different situation than a lot of people. I think
that's possibly true, but it's.
I think you have a much closer family than the vast fucking majority of families. Vast fucking majority.
Oh, I think that's true. I think we have a very different family dynamic.
Yes. And I know a lot of people who are really good parents. But yeah, you're a very close, you're probably one of the best dads I know. Absolutely. 100%. Absolutely.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, without, yeah.
Oh, garsh.
Yeah.
All my modesty is now coming out. No, not me. I'm a terrible dad.
Yeah. Well, we had a thing that happened today where we had a very nice letter this morning that I was too sleepy to fully read, and I've still got to read. But it was one of those things where...
Nice to say from our listener, Pierce.
Oh, well, there.
Thank you for the letter. I personally read it all, and I really enjoyed it.
Right. I'm going to reread it when I'm less sleepy. But it was talking about how something that we said on the show touched them and connected with them. And I think he said, what did he say about like families and how this show might be good for...
He said it would be nice if you could recommend this show for children who've had a difficult time with their families, like children who went through like a kind of rough upbringing, let's say. And he thought our show would be very valuable as sort of therapy through that. I mean, I've talked a lot about my parents.
Yeah.
Some of it's, I think most of it's complaining. And I'm kind of sorry about that if it's... Because really my parents... I feel the same way about my parents as I feel about myself, which is that I did my best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the mistakes that I made, I own. you know, that I'm a great dad. Okay, maybe.
Right.
But I know I did I know I did bad things. I know I made mistakes. There's things I wish I could do, have a do-over on. You can't. So you just have to accept that, you know, maybe along the way you did dumb things or whatever because you're a human. But I feel the same with my parents. You know, they did the best they could from the upbringing that they had.
Right.
You know, and the fact that I resolved to be totally different than them. I hope that they did that too. I hope they resolved to be totally different than their mom and dad. And I feel like they were. I feel like my dad came from a way worse dad than I had as a father growing up. And I feel the same way with my mom. My mom's mom is a very cold person, a very critical person. Mm-hmm. You know, and I feel like my mom overcame a lot of that. Maybe not as much as you'd hope she would. But she overcame a lot of that.
If you probably saw your great-grandmother, you'd think maybe the grandmother was really warm, comparatively speaking.
I mean, these are people who grew up through a terrible time, you know, through the Depression, through the First World War. You know, so they just lived a life of you know, it was just a deprived life at that time.
Well, that is true. I think, though, we might not be being fair to them on that. I think they grew up in a time that we don't understand. I think that's the truth.
Yeah.
And if you were asking them about, like, what was your childhood like? No, it was fun. It's great. You know, and
their childhood was fun, but I mean when they were, you know, coming up into their adulthood and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's a tough time.
Well, that's like my grandparents as well. You know, they were poor. They had a store. Every time I heard stories from my grandfather and grandmother, it would be like the tough times and this, and we went through this, and we had this, and we barely had anything. But then you'd hear like a story and just go, yeah, but it's fun. And we laughed, and I was the funny one in the group, and we'd go and we'd do this and we'd do that. And it's like, it's tough to get the full picture from, you know, the distance that we are. And generations, I don't think, can understand each other. We can to some degree, and we should endeavor to, but they wouldn't understand the life you live. You can't totally understand the life they live.
For sure. I mean, my parents, my grandma, they're all pre-60s, you know, so they came of age before this major seismic shift in our culture happened. So their thinking way is totally different than, say, mine, as someone who grew up in a post-60s culture, you know. So my feelings, my experiences in life are totally different than theirs.
Right.
You know, and that's a big difference between us. But
their changes are like, before it's like the Industrial Revolution and getting the vote and like going through a war and, you know, you talk changes, you know, you know, women are now, you know, doing stuff here on the mainland and now they're not. And now teenagers are a thing. And what's that about? And it's like, it's just like change is constant.
Sure.
Radical, huge fucking change
is
constant.
Huge changes. But the 60s is really... is a big change. I mean, it's a big philosophical change, not just a change of habit.
You don't think coming from the 40s to the 50s and teenagers becoming a thing was as...
I think the teenagers becoming a thing is late 50s, and I think it kind of leads into the 60s.
You're mixing those up?
It kind of leads into the 60s in a big way.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think... Here's the thing. I think, like, when you're saying, you know... And I feel the same way. I think my parents... good intentions, did the best. Here's what I really believe. Yeah. I believe my parents did the best they could, except when they got tired of it and didn't do the best they could, because they're human like us.
Yeah.
Like, I would say, like, you know, I try, and then sometimes I don't try.
Yes.
And those sometimes I fuck up.
Sure.
And it doesn't...
It's called Sneaky Dragon.
Sure, there you go. So, you know, they're full people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you start to criticize your parents, it can get to the point where you're thinking, like, are you calling them a bad guy? And I was like, well, that's not right. Because even though, like, my dad did some real shit things to me. But, you know, am I saying, is he a bad guy? Well, he did some bad things, but he also did a lot of good things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he did try his best. And then sometimes he stopped trying his best. And then he went into his own head.
Yeah.
And then he was dealing with his own shit. And I'm sure his dad did stuff to him that he did to me. And I'm sure the cycles goes, whatever. But I think when you divide it into good and bad, and it's extreme, and it's the thing where if you ever do confront a parent about something, then it becomes so now I'm the bad guy. No, you're not the fucking bad guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing you did was wrong.
Yeah.
Let's admit this part where you did this.
Admit that. No. You don't understand. You don't understand what we were doing. How it was then. You don't understand at all.
Right.
That's and a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, and all of a sudden we're now at a win-lose situation. And it's like, no, we don't need to fucking be that. We're both on each other's side,
No. You're going to a therapist. You're just telling them how much you hate me.
That's right. Yeah. It's all about me. Mm-hmm. And so you can go like, ugh, you know, and do that. Or you can go like, oh, Well, she probably really needs what she could get.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously, like right now, you know, we've talked about this enough, but my, you know, my mom, you know, still is writing me every so often, you know, saying, oh, we're going on this trip and we're doing this. And it's all nothing's wrong. I'm just telling you the thing. Mm-hmm. And here we go. Maybe she's writing me, maybe my stepdad is writing me. I don't know. Mm. It's always signed by mom and dad.
Mm.
And they know that all of us dislike that. And I could take it as this is a reach out, or I could take it as this is a power play. I could take it as any of these things. And the truth of the matter is there are people. I think that she's making a huge fucking mistake right now. It's a huge fucking drag. They're people, you know? And people make stupid fucking mistakes, and it doesn't make them a bad person. I think he's a jerk. I'm gonna say I think he's a bad person. I think it all evens up to that point. Hello.
Yeah, I agree.
And my wife thinks that as well, and she agrees. But one thing...
I'm glad we reached a consensus of two.
Okay, I saw you looking over my shoulder like Pia was giving signals or
something. I was actually looking at the fan and thinking, man, it's hot in here. The fan was going...
No, Dave, I think you've got to like awaken the fan within. You've got to follow your own fan, because if you can't cool yourself internally, you're never going to be able to cool the world.
This has been a really deep conversation.
Yeah, it really started like a stupid show.
I actually really enjoyed it.
Good.
I just want to tell you one thing. This has nothing to do with anything at all, and we can veer back into something important. But
imagine if you came out of the closet right now. Holy shit, would this be a good episode?
Not going to happen, but
okay. I know. Fair enough.
70-30.
Are we getting out the Kinsey scale?
It's kind of like that.
All right.
70-30.
On the Kinsey scale, I've got to say this much. I had a cat named Kinsey.
That's very high on the Kinsey scale.
Well, she ended up weighing, I think, at a maximum 16 pounds. That's how much she was on the Kinsey scale.
That's 16 on the Kinsey scale. Wow. So I was driving down the street today. This has nothing to do with anything at all.
Sure.
And I saw a sign, and it said, it's a weird place. It's a place that only you can find out in rural areas.
Right.
Why are you laughing?
I was so out of the way. You were going to tell a joke that every comic thinks is their own joke.
No, it's not.
I'm going down the street,
yeah,
and I see a guy, and he's holding a sign, and it says slow. And I'm thinking, that's mean they make him hold that sign.
How do you know I was going to say that?
If you're a stand-up comedian and you think you invented that joke, you didn't, and you're one of 25 comedians that does. Anyway, please continue, Dave.
Well, you were driving
down the street.
No, I was driving. Okay, so this is
trying to loosen your load.
Trying to loosen my load. I got 16 different women on my mind. One's trying to ball me. Is that what he says?
No.
Okay.
No. One is not trying to ball you, or it would not have made it as a hit song on the radio.
I guess that's true.
Wait a second. Running down the road, trying to lose my legs, 7 minutes on my mind. Looking for a lover that won't blow my cover. She's so hard to find. Take it easy. And other things. But no one wants to ball you.
I don't know. I don't like the music. So anyway, I was driving down the road, and this is a place that you only see in like a rural
one that wants to ball me, one to overhaul me.
One that wants to call me. That rhyme is a lot of rhymes there. I thought it was pretty obvious.
One's using an awl. They're a cobbler.
They really should call me for help, the Eagles. They need some help. Sure. Their songs.
Dave, take it
their
easy.
Their failed Just career.
Take it easy. Take it easy. All right, continue.
So it's like it's one of those places that you only find like in a rural area, right? Like just driving along, you're like, how does this business survive? Like, what? This place is a lawn ornament company. They sell like the statues that you put in your lawn.
No, is it
how
statues?
How is it there?
Is it statues or is it the wooden cutouts?
No, statues.
Just the statues.
Yeah.
Because I've seen the wooden cutout place.
That's weird too.
How's that a thing? How's that hard to make?
Do you want some cowboys to lean against your fence?
Get a jigsaw out. It's a gnome. It's not hard. A snowman? What the fuck? Just cut it. It's a jigsaw. It's not hard. What are you doing?
So they have a sign. They have this big sign out, and it says over 1,504 ornaments for sale. And I'm like, you don't put a specific number down and then say it's over it. You can say it's over 1,500 ornaments, or we have 1,504 ornaments for sale, but you can't be over 1,504. Because then your first thought is it 1,505? Is that it?
Yeah, at least. Legally. Wrong. Oh, for fuck's sake.
It seemed wrong.
That is very, very good. Pia was looking up the Take It Easy lyrics, And you said, no, we don't want them. We don't want them.
I don't need to know.
To heck with that. So, all right.
I really want to know what he says in Hotel California. It's such a lovely place.
Oh, it's about Kali, the god of death?
Yes.
I understand. All right.
Kali.
Four that want to own me, two that want to stone me. One says she's a friend of mine. Do any want to ball you? No, that's fucking stupid. Why would we even say that? Then we couldn't get on the radio. Take it easy. What was that line about balling me? This asshole thinks he wants to ball him. Oh, that's stupid. We couldn't get on the fucking radio with that kind of fucking language. You're absolutely correct.
Well,
take it easy. Take it easy. Such a fine sight to see. It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford. Seriously, ball me? Who the hell uses that expression? Baseball players?
Wow, it looks like you're actually reading that off of the screen.
And
it's a good acting job.
Maybe you could do a joke.
I don't want to overpraise you, but
and then it goes into a weird joke about how the girl broke up with the baseball player because he had foul balls.
How did that get on the radio?
I know. It's weird that was a hit song.
It's strange.
Well, lordy, lordy. Hi, everybody. If you've got things to say about this episode, I don't know what you could possibly say. SneakyDragon.com is our website.
I guess it was an older time, but there was like Rip It Up. I think the Elvis Presley Little Richard song.
Yeah.
It talks about that he wants to ball her.
Yeah, but I don't think people knew what that meant.
I think, they were thinking of it as dance moves.
In the same way that no one knows what rock and roll means.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, you mean rock and roll means sex? Yes.
Yeah. Do you mean it's like a one-eyed cat going into a seafood store?
That's right.
Okay.
So sneakyd@sneakydragon.com is our email address. That's sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. As I said, sneakydragon.com is our website. Message board, put something up there. And if you go to Facebook, I'm off Facebook for a week.
Why are you off Facebook
and
for a week?
And also Twitter. I'll tell you in a second. Let me tell you the addresses first.
Tell us all about it, hypocrite.
Sneaky Dragon on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
@sneaky_dragon on Twitter.
Really, Mr. Pot calling the kettle black?
That's right. So here's what... how is that the case?
I don't know.
If I've been selling Facebook? By the way, it's weird whenever I see a commercial on TV for Facebook. I'm like, well...
What?
Yeah, what's the deal? Yeah.
Didn't they replace it?
I know, exactly. What are you doing? What are you doing? It's like radio advertising TV. It makes no sense. No, why I'm off it is I'm doing an experiment this week, which is... I find myself when I'm watching TV or doing something, I will reach for a laptop or whatever, and I'll do some searching or something while I'm doing that. And I thought, what if I have a sketch book or something with me for the week? And I'm going to try to just, when I have that compulsion to grab that, I will grab this and I'll just write some nonsense down or do some doodling and see how it works.
Sure.
And so far, some terrible drawings of Jon Stewart and Barack Obama.
Congratulations.
From yesterday when I was watching them interviewing each other.
That is a great
Some
change.
Of them that you might go, well, you're a bit of an anti-Semite. I was like, no, I was just drawing the nose. And oh, I look, it's terrible. No one can see these. So I right now have got a lot of things in sketchbooks that no one will ever see. But I'm trying it for 1 week just to see, also just to clear my head.
Well, I actually really hate that. And everybody in my family does that. They all watch television with a computer or phone in front of them.
Yeah.
Like, it's like they cannot enjoy just sitting and watching the show. I just watch the TV show.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that's why I don't watch a lot of television, because then I have other things that I need to get done because I can't multitask.
Yeah. That's why you're not at VidCon.
That's exactly right.
You're not hep to the
I'm so not hep.
All right.
Or hip.
Yeah. So, folks, I will not be posting anything for about a week. So if I don't respond to you, I'm sorry. And I'm really sorry if your birthday happens this week and I'm not wishing you a happy birthday. I'm sorry about that. So, happy birthday to, former guest of the show, Mark Meer. I know it's his birthday today and I'm not wishing him a happy birthday, except on here. So there we go.
It's also, Stephen Hamm's birthday today as well.
Happy birthday, former guest of the show, Stephen Hamm. Are all our guests born on the same damn day?
I guess so.
Wouldn't that be a creepy thing? Richard Starkings, happy birthday today. Pia Guerra, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Pia.
Everybody, happy birthday. Vicky Van, happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
That's right.
My cousin Jason Dedrick, happy birthday.
David M., happy birthday.
Well, I have to say it like this. Well, Jason, happy birthday. Yes.
Yep, and happy new year.
Happy new year.
I can't end this.
we seem to be stuck.
It's okay. You know why? Because I know it's that nice, happy music was going to play at the end.
Yeah.
And that's just going to get people out. It's their cool down at the end of your workout.
I'm going to play AC/DC's Big Balls.
Do it. Do it. You're going to play Take It Easy is what you're going to play.
No, I'll never put that song on anything.
Okay, folks, what you got to do You got to take this episode yourself.
Yes.
You got to like put take it easy right on the end of it. Just and put replace, it right there.
Replace easy with balls.
Yeah. Okay. I know you're going to.
Or how about replace take with balls?
I know you're going to be fine until I hear you listening to the Eagles, and then I know things are, then I'm going to be worried. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. I've been Ian Boothby.
I've been David the Eagles Dedrick.
And I've been Ian Foul Balls Boothby. Take care of yourselves. Thanks for your kind attention.
Society, God's gift to ballroom notoriety, and I always fill my ballroom. The event is never small. The social pages say I've got the biggest balls of all. I've got big balls, I've got big balls, they're such big balls, and they're fancy big balls. And he's got big balls, and she's got big balls. My ballroom always full, and everybody comes and comes again. If your name is on the guest list, no one can take you higher. Everybody says I've got great balls of fire. I've got big balls, oh, I've got big balls, and they're such big balls, dirty big balls. And he's got big balls, and she's got big balls. But when they're held for pleasure, they're the balls that I like best. My balls are always bouncing to the left and to the right. It's my belief that my big ball should be held every night. Oh, we've got big balls! We've got big balls! We've got big balls! Dirty big balls! He's got big balls! She's got big balls! But we've got the biggest!
None of it recorded. The end.